But Jerry talks about realizing power, and one way that that power manifested itself last year was that following the same workshop, several of the women who had participated here in the Malcolm X conference decided to take that energy and form it into something ongoing and something that could really challenge male supremacy and challenge racism in the society, and particularly in New York City. And the person who spearheaded that effort was Rena Walker. And we're really glad to have her here, and also that her organization is a testimony to what positive things can come out of meetings like this. Rena is also a mother, community organizer, and a student at NYU. Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It looks like y'all sleeping out there, you know. We got some serious issues to talk about. I want everybody to be alert. You know, listen up. I know when Bernice gets up here, you really better listen up, because she's going to lay some serious facts on you. Vivian called me and asked me to come and speak on this panel, and I was shocked, and then I got this letter that says, well, you know, you got a right to come and speak on this panel, and I was shocked, and then I got this letter that says, well, you know, you got to write it down because we're going to publish it and all of that, so, you know, I'm going to read this, but I really like to just speak, but I'm going to read what I have because it's pretty well thought out and, you know, all of that, so, but I'll start here. Although the focus of this workshop is sexual harassment, it is only one of the many issues that African women are constantly faced with daily. In order to effectively combat any of these deep-rooted ills, we as African women must organize ourselves. And we have, of course, heard many people utter this phrase many times, but it's easier said than done. What I'd like to give you today is some insight into the ups and downs that our group faced in the past year. We took the plunge and came out stronger and wiser, but also learned that everything isn't what it seems in the grassroots movement of today. We live in a world filled with many problems. Some would say that we are at our worst point in human history. Our lives are seemingly controlled by many evil and destructive forces that seem insurmountable. They can sometimes paralyze us and make us feel powerless. We also live in a world of duality, which means there's another side of this story. We can also say that we are at our highest point in history. There's more information available to us than ever before, and more of an opportunity to connect with other human beings than we've ever had. This leads us to the point of deciding which way we want to view the world and what actions we're going to take to change it. In November of 1990, I decided to choose the more optimistic view. I was inspired by the sisters who spoke at the first Malcolm X conference, and I was compelled to take action. Never before had I experienced such an exchange between our sisters. There were so many interesting sisters there who came from all over the world, and the views they expressed gave me a whole new outlook. I no longer felt that I was alone in the world, and I realized just how alike we all are. Many of the economic, sexual, social, and racial problems that I had been experiencing as an African woman in this male-dominated Eurocentric society were also being experienced by other African sisters. I then decided to form a group and create a safe space for my sisters so we could continue to share our experiences and organize ourselves to change our conditions. On November 17, 1990, AWARE, the African Women's Action for Revolutionary Exchange, had its first meeting. Needless to say, it was somewhat difficult to bring our sisters together to meet with some constancy. I had done some political work in my life, and because I sing, I had formed some bands in the past, so I thought I knew a little something about putting a group together. But entertainment and self-preservation are two different things, and it's much easier to get a band together to rehearse every week than it is to bring sisters together to confront what's going on in their lives. I began to hear every excuse imaginable as to why they couldn't make it to meetings. In my enthusiasm, I thought everyone would key into the same positive vibration I had, but I soon found that not to be the case. This organizing thing was going to be harder than I thought. I also realized the importance of structure. It was important for AWARE to be a place for sisters to come share their views and feel positive about themselves. As the organizer, it was my role to present these ideas in a structured form to the group so that we could move forward together harmoniously. I knew I didn't have all of the answers, so it was important to incorporate all of the ideas of these sisters and bring them together in an organized manner that was workable for everyone. There were many disagreements, but after a while, there was a general consensus reached that we all could feel comfortable with. We also attended meetings and rallies and joined various coalitions in order to enrich the political experience of the members and get a fuller understanding of the political picture. We soon found ourselves organizing with some of the best-known grassroots people in the country around the issue of the war in Kuwait when we joined the African American Coalition Against U.S. Intervention. We thought it was important to join the coalition to act as a voice for our sisters who were in the war. There were many sisters who were taken from their children, and some were pregnant. Also, because there are severe penalties for prostitution in Saudi Arabia, sex was not readily available to the male soldiers as in previous wars. So many of the sisters were being sexually harassed and raped by fellow officers, and nothing was being done about it. There were also many inadequate facilities like showers for the women, and they had no privacy. At the first meeting of the coalition, I remember hearing someone say something to the effect of, "We've got to understand the politics behind the Bush administration and the reason why our brothers are over there." I blurted out, "Well, what about the sisters? You know, they're over there too." And it felt as if every eye in the room was glaring at me. I thought, "Uh-oh, Rena, you've done it now. There's some serious folks in here, so you better be cool. You're a nobody, so keep your mouth shut." But of course I didn't. I quickly saw that within the anti-war movement, a lot of sexist attitudes were prevalent. There was such a struggle to put forth the issues that were of particular concern to African women, even among the supposedly conscious people. After a few meetings, we began to realize our issues were considered to be divisive and secondary. To my surprise, we received a lot of indifference and outright hostility from some of the women in the coalition. I then realized the magnitude of the problem we had taken on. The attitude was such that a focus on male-centered African liberation was fine, but don't get into that woman thing. It'll split up the group. Despite this, AWARE pushed forward. It was a fight within a fight. There were many stressful days, and I often wondered if we had taken on too much of responsibility too soon. With so much adversity going on, it sometimes seemed rather hopeless. Most of the coalition meetings took place in Brooklyn, so most of the time I was traveling from Harlem with my two children to attend. I also had the responsibility of putting forth AWARE's position in the various committee meetings, and that was very difficult because AWARE was a new group and the members didn't understand all of the politics involved at that point. I must say that there were some dedicated sisters there, and we gave each other a lot of support. The AWARE members gathered a lot of information and statistics so it could be publicized. They also made me realize that I didn't have to be a superwoman to make things happen. The change would come. I also found a lot of comfort and strength in reading about the struggles of other African women. When I thought about the kind of energy and perseverance it took for women like Nzinga and Harriet Tubman, Asada Shakur, Ella Baker, and others to prevail, I realized that my struggle had only just begun, and that it took a building of inner strength, will, energy, and desire for change in order to create a different reality. Eventually, our persistence paid off, and the issues that concerned our sisters were given a bit of a platform. Suddenly, I was thrust onto the television screen and doing radio shows. More and more, people started to become conscious of the women being over there. The battle wasn't an easy one, and I still had to assert our position at meetings, but I think everyone there, even the hostile ones, came away with a little more consciousness about the plight of our sisters and the importance of getting the whole picture out to the public. We have grown a lot since then. We joined other coalitions and met some incredibly beautiful, positive women and men as a result. We also held some forums around African women, and the latest one we had was around African women in the media and the sexism and misogyny that's prevalent there. Right now, though, we have more of a focus on the internal strengthening of the group. We have a reading list of books compiled by the women in the group, of books that inspired them and gave them historical insight. Audre Lorde, bell hooks, Angela Davis, Michelle Wallace, and Pearl Cleage are just a few of the authors on our list. We are also building a library which we all can contribute to so we don't have to buy books, and we use a sign-out sheet to keep track of the materials. Our meetings are held every week on Sundays and are structured so that we have a discussion about group business during the first half and a discussion of one of the topics on our issues list during the second half. These issues also come from the women in the group, and they vary widely. Some of the past discussions have been around African women and natural health, self-esteem, homosexuality, and sexual harassment. At the end of our meetings, we have announcements of upcoming events and may discuss some event that we had attended during the past week. It's also important to note that we open every meeting with a reading about an African woman in history and her accomplishments. The historical perspective cannot be stressed enough.
This really gives reinforcement to the sisters and a better insight into the struggles and victories of African women. AWARE is now a year old, and through its many changes, it has grown and changed, and so have I. I have learned to understand that everyone is evolving on their own path, and that it is possible to make a difference in the lives of our sisters and the world. We must continue to have enough patience to learn and enough energy to teach. Only then will we see a significant change in our situation. Although we are oppressed racially, we are not oppressed spiritually and intellectually. We as African women have historically overcome adversity in its many forms. We can do more if we pool our resources and ideas and act as a collective. We realize that it's not an easy road, but we must continue or we'll not survive as women, as a race, or as a planet. It is important to know that there are other women who share the same ups and downs as you. Connect with these women and organize. If you are part of a group that is not addressing these issues and they don't want to listen and be open to the views of the sisters, then take those sisters who do and organize them. If you are in a group that says it stands for African liberation, but you're being sexually harassed or asked for sexual favors in order to advance your standing in the group, leave the group. True African liberation means liberation for women from this type of behavior. If they are not talking about dealing with sexism, misogyny, and patriarchal oppression of women, they're not talking about African liberation, period. In closing, I'd just like to say that it doesn't take a superstar to organize, just the desire for change. I hope I gave you all a little taste of what it's like to take the plunge. I also hope that you got a little bit angry, so you'll feel motivated to do something about our conditions. Read everything you can and go for it. Just imagine if all the women at this conference were each leaders of a different African women's group and you each set up networks internationally. We could have a serious impact on this planet. The fact that you were conscious enough to be here today with all of the forces around us that want to make you unconscious says that there's something special about you. Tap into that specialness and use it to make changes. If you don't think you can make a difference, just remember, I was sitting in the audience last year. Peace.